Grace, mercy, and peace be yours. From God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Their faces were hot with shame, their hearts racing with fear. A husband and a wife felt their moment of reckoning quickly closing in upon them. They knew instinctively that what they had done was both horrible and irreversible. Frantically, they covered and hid themselves, and inwardly they descended into the darkness of despair. Surely, all was lost. Confronted with their crime, the husband acts in desperate self-interest, called to love his wife by protecting her, leading her, and even giving himself up for her. In this unprecedented moment, he throws her under the bus. It's her fault. She's the reason we're in this mess. The wife, shaken to the core not only by her guilt, but by her husband's cowardly accusations, seeks to have the blame passed one more time. The serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God speaks a curse over the serpent and vows that one day his evil work will be defeated. The offspring of the woman will crush his head, even as the serpent strikes his heel. Despite what has been done, there will be hope. But for now, the man, the woman, and their descendants must face the natural consequences of sinful rebellion. Dust you are, God says, and to dust you shall return. Return to dust. It's the first return that is spoken this Lenten season. If it were framed as an invitation, we would happily refuse. No thanks, I think I'll stay alive and kicking. And yet, we can't avoid such a return. Recently, I noticed the cover story of Forbes magazine. For whatever reason, we inadvertently get Forbes at our house. We have for the last several months. I never signed up for it. I don't know why we get it, but we do. And I looked at the cover story when we received it the last time. It was kind of fascinating. This investor was working on this, basically this super high-tech regimen of physicals and healthcare based on the fact that you would know each individual's entire human genome map. He said, with this information in play, we can design healthcare that could drastically enhance lifespans. It's fascinating to think about the prospects of people living to be regularly 100, 110, 120, maybe even 130. And yet, we'd be forced to admit that such advances would not allow us to cheat death, only to delay it. Sooner or later, one way or another, the grave will have its possession. To dust we shall return. And a return to dust is what we deserve. Yes, we inherit the broken sinfulness of our parents Adam and Eve, so our reality is in a sense different from theirs. We can argue that their will was truly free, while ours is captive when it comes to choosing the things and the ways of God. But we do a really good job living out of that corrupted, rebellious nature. We take an honest look at ourselves. We were created in the image of God to reflect his self-giving love in every facet of our lives. We were made to trust in him and to serve our neighbor with everything we've got. But we get it all twisted up. We get it all turned around. Instead of trusting God with the moments of our lives, we live lives of arrogant self-reliance. On one hand, I've got this. I don't need any help. Or on the other hand, we live lives of fear and worry, disconnected from our true source of life and strength. Our lives become less and less a reflection of the love and goodness of God, and more like black holes, sucking in every source of good and light around us, turning our relationships and our experiences into constant attempts to make us to feel good or to validate our existence. We were made to be givers, passing along what God pours out in seemingly without measure. But we settle for being users and consumers. We're called to let our lights shine, reflecting the source of all goodness and light. But in ways big and small, we prefer to direct the lights inward on ourselves. Look at me. Depending on our personalities, we might exhibit these behaviors in different ways, but we all do it. Children, and perhaps those adults with bolder personalities, might wear those behaviors outwardly on their sleeves, while the rest of us might try to mask those tendencies in order to appear nice and likable. But at the end of the day, we all do it. The scriptures say that everything that doesn't proceed from faith is sin. If I trusted God to work in the lives of my children through His Word, would I get impatient with them as frequently as I do? If I trusted that in Christ I have all that I need, including all of the love of the Father, would I get distracted from my callings to love my wife or to love you as my brothers and sisters in Christ, so that I might pursue momentary rabbit trails just for my own amusement? And do I understand at any meaningful level how utterly offensive my life would actually look when put in contrast to the perfect love and holiness of God? The love and holiness for which we were created and to which we have been called. Dust we are, and to dust we shall return. And we deserve it. But if you've made the journey of Lent before, or if you know the gospel message, you know that the return to dust is not the only return to which we are called. We hear God call to us, ashamed and exposed and trying to hide though we are. He says to us, "Where are you? Come on out. Stop running. Stop hiding. Return to me." We hear the call of God through the prophet Joel to a people who had turned from their God, who had forsaken their callings to live as His children, to live as a light to the nations, who are experiencing the temporal consequences of their sins in terms of economic disaster, and who are in danger of ultimately experiencing the eternal consequences of a life disconnected from God. It's not too late, the prophet says. Before you return to the dust, return to your God. He writes, if we could have the next slide, please, from Joel chapter 2, verse 12. "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil." He says, return to God, for there is hope. He is gracious. He's compassionate. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in loving kindness. He relents of evil. His heart is not bent on destroying you. It's moved to save you. That's why for those of you who received the ashes tonight, they were placed upon you in the sign of the cross, not in the sign of an X, not in the sign of a bullseye. He's not out to get you, no matter what you've done or failed to do. Maybe you're suffering today. Maybe you're tempted to believe that God is punishing you in some way because of your sin. Maybe at some level you have begun to believe that you've been marked with a big cosmic bullseye. And as you begin Lent, you might be tempted to bargain with God. "God, I know that I failed in the following 17 different ways, but the next 6 weeks I'm going to try harder. I really am. I'm going to give up desserts, God. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to be nicer to people. I'm going to give more." We're like that servant in Matthew chapter 18 in Jesus' story who comes before his master owing 10,000 talents, which in our modern economy would be like millions or billions of dollars. And he's pleading with the master, be patient and I will repay. Yeah, right. But what did the master do in that story? Did he set up a payment plan to get his servant back into good graces with himself? No. In pity, he forgave the debt. He wiped it off the books completely. Today, for the sake of Christ, our Master calls us before him and presents us with the same offer. His mercy in exchange for your better behavior? No! His mercy, period. To those caught in the act, to those unable to repay, God speaks. He says, return. Return to me. Return to the foot of the cross. Gaze on my Son. And know what grace and mercy and love really are. Return as you are, broken and dirty and destined for the grave. And come and receive pardon. And a promise that is stronger than death. Return to this table and taste the forgiveness of sins. Real forgiveness. Really for free. Really for you. The prophet writes, now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. Our Lenten journey begins today. And with it comes a special opportunity to focus on Jesus, on his love, on his sacrifice. In the weeks to come, we'll have the opportunity to discover more and more how God delivers Jesus and his forgiveness personally to us through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Week after week, King Jesus will meet you here through his word and through the bread and the wine to restore you. To equip you for life with him, life now and life forever. So in the weeks to come, don't run. Don't run from church. Don't hide in your homes or in the busyness of the day to day. Return on Sunday. Return next week. Return, for God is gracious and merciful. Return, for Jesus meets us here. Return, for though we are dust, in Jesus, dust is not the end of our story. In his name, amen.